And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Blood Bond. Narrated by Thomas Penny. With performances by Dylan Lynch, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Terence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Colleen Delaney, David Coyne, Christopher Graybill, Dolores King Williams, Karen Carbone, Tim Carlin, James Konacek, Michael Glenn, Johan Detweiler, Dan Smith, and Mort Shelby. Blood Bond Number 5, Devil Creek Crossfire.
You boys gotta settle down someday. You gotta put what you seen on that ridge that day behind you.
We know, Pa.
But it is not yet that time.
Where are you off to this trip, boys?
Who knows, Pa?
You boys is getting the reputation of gun slicks. You don't want that hung on you.
I am afraid it's already there. We did not seek it out.
I know you boys didn't. Well, tell your ma goodbye and give her a kiss.
They had. And they both had a big sack of fried chicken hanging from the saddle horns. The elder Bodine stepped back and lifted a hand.
You boys know where home is. Come back.
He turned and walked back into the house. The Blood Brothers rode slowly out the front gate. The two young men were as much brothers of the blood as if they had the same mother and father, which they did not. Matt Bodine and Sam August Webster Two Wolves were brothers united by the knife and the fire and the blood bonding of the Cheyenne ritual that made them blood brothers forever. Sam's father had been a great and highly respected chief of the Cheyenne. His mother, a beautiful and highly educated white woman from the East, who had fallen in love with the handsome Cheyenne chief and married him, both in the Indian way and the white man's so-called Christian way. Matt had saved Sam's life while both were young boys, and they had become close. Soon, Matt was spending as much time in the Cheyenne camp as at his home on the ranch. The two grew up together, and Matt was adopted into the Cheyenne tribe, thus becoming a human being in the eyes of the Cheyenne. Sam's father had been killed during the Battle of the Little Bighorn, after he charged Custer alone, unarmed, except for a coup stick. Matt and Sam had witnessed the slaughter and had never told anyone about that day, but the elder Bodine had guessed. When the brothers rode down from the ridges to stand amid the carnage, it had affected them deeply. They decided to drift for a time to try and erase the terrible memory of the battle. Both were moderately wealthy for the time. Sam's mother had come from a very rich family back east and had left him well off. Both Matt and Sam owned very profitable cattle and horse ranches. The brothers were handsome and muscular young men in excellent physical shape. Both were in their mid-20s, and both had a wild and reckless glint in their eyes. Sam's eyes were black, Matt's were blue. Sam's hair was black, Matt's was dark brown. They were big men for the time, well over 6 feet, and weighing a good 200 pounds each. They could pass for full brothers, and had many times. Sam had inherited his mother's white features, with only his cold obsidian eyes giving away his Indian heritage. When he knew war was coming and that he must fight, Sam's father, Medicine Horse, had ordered his son from their encampment and ordered him to adopt the white man's ways and to forever forget his Cheyenne blood. Medicine Horse made his son repeat the pledge, knowing that even after his death, his son would not disobey his wishes. Both Matt and Sam wore identical bands around their necks, made up of three multicolored stones pierced by rawhide. Both men were highly respected when it came to gunslinging. It was not a title they sought or wanted, but they were called gunfighters nevertheless. Of the two, Bodine was the swifter, but not by much. He was becoming a legend, although he didn't know it. Yet. Sam was not far behind. It was just that Matt had been at it longer. Matt had killed his first man when he was 14, defending his father's ranch against rustlers. The dead man's brothers came after him when he was 15 and had the misfortune to find him. They were buried that same day. At 16, more rustlers came when Matt was night herding. Two more graves were added. He lived with the Cheyenne during his 17th year and then went to work riding shotgun for gold shipments. Four men die trying to rob the shipments. Two more later made the mistake of calling Matt Bodine out into the street. Neither man cleared leather. While Sam Two Wolves was back east at college, he hated every minute of it, so he claimed, Matt Bodine was a scout for the Army. Matt saved his money and bought land. His ranch was one of the largest in the state. Sam Two Wolves was college educated, while Matt had been educated at home by his mother, a trained school teacher. Matt would be considered very well educated for the time. The brothers were not yet ready to settle down on their respective ranches. They were young and full of life, and they had a lot of country to see and a lot of life to live before thinking of settling down. They now drifted into a small town for a drink and supplies. It was not a typical Western town, a fact that both young men picked up on quickly. There were two general stores, both with the same name painted on the front. Two light dress shops, two barber shops, saddle shops, gunsmiths, and so on. Each store was directly across the wide, dusty street from the other. They rode slowly down the street, aware of many eyes on them.
Have I suddenly developed double vision?
You have, so have I. I've seen some strange sights, brother, but I believe this takes a prize.
Both sensed the tension in the air, and both sensed they had ridden smack into trouble.
Do you have any idea where we are?
Idaho, I think. Does it make any real difference?
I guess not. Weird. Let's get our supplies and get gone from here.
My sentiments exactly. I don't like the feel of this town.
Two men stepped out of one of the two saloons and stood on the boardwalk, watching the Blood Brothers. Matt and Sam noticed that the guns of the men were worn low and tied down. A lot of men wore their guns low and tied, and in a dozen other ways, for that matter, so that in itself was not unusual. But it was more than the way these two wore their guns that caught the eyes of the brothers. The guns seemed to be a natural part of the men.
Hired guns.
You know them?
I know one of them. That's Burl Golden in a black hat. The other one looks familiar, but you just can't place him right off.
How about a beer?
That sounds good. Which saloon? You remember the last time we picked a saloon?
Brother, if we didn't stay in trouble, life would be boring.
The fact that the brothers automatically slipped the hammer thongs from their guns did not escape the eyes of the many loafers who sat in chairs or leaned against support posts on both sides of the street. They stood for a moment on either side of the bat wings, assessing the unusually large crowd for this time of day and letting their eyes adjust to the dimness. The men in the saloon stared back at the strangers.
I think they're both Injuns.
Matt glanced at Sam and they both smiled. Together, they walked to the long bar.
Beer for both of us.
The barkeep kept shifting his eyes from Matt to Sam. Both of them did sort of look like Indians. Sort of. But so did a lot of other men. The barkeep couldn't be sure and didn't want to offend either of these big, rugged-looking hombres. Both of them looked like they'd been across the creek and over the mountains more than once. He finally shrugged his shoulders.
Hey, boy! You with the one gun. Are you a breed or what?
Or what?
Huh?
Neither of the two young men were trouble hunters, but neither were they known to back away from it.
I ain't drinking with no damn Injuns!
Then leave.
A man wearing a star on his shirt stepped inside. He looked around, then walked to the bar and stood staring at Matt.
Connors, right?
Wrong.
Well, if your name isn't Connors, what is it?
There was tension in the air, and it was thick and ugly.
I'm Matt, and this is my brother Sam.
I still think that ugly one's a damn stinking Injun.
You know that gentleman, Marshall?
I know him. Why?
Then I would suggest that you tell him to shut his face before he finds his mouth separated from it and on the other side of the room.
He's got a right to an opinion.
That he does. And so do I.
What'd you say about me?
Sam turned and faced the man. His eyes were hard and dangerous.
I'm half Cheyenne, mister. If you don't like that, you're wearing a gun.
Hold it. That's enough. You sit down, Eddie. And you boys drink your beers and then leave town.
No.
Cowboy, you can ride with anybody you like. That's your business. But this is my town. And when I tell you to haul your ashes, you move. Don't play games with me.
Sam stood facing the man with the big mouth. Matt stood facing the bar, his back to the room, the beer mug in his left hand.
I'm not playing games, Marshall. We just came into town to have a beer and stock up on beans and bacon and coffee. When we've done that, we'll leave. And not before.
I could put you in jail for refusing my orders to leave town.
The man facing Sam was getting angrier by the moment, his face red and his hand by the butt of his gun.
They're both wearing necklaces, Marshall. That's pure Injun crap. Let's run them out of town.
Settle down, Eddie. Just settle down. There's something all wrong here. These two are just too calm to suit me. You boys got last names?
We're the Smith brothers.
Why can't it be Callahan or O'Malley or Frankenhurst? Must you always be so unoriginal?
My name's Smith. He's Sam Frankenhurst.
Couple of damn funny boys. I'm calling you out right now, Injun.
I'm sorry, Eddie. My dance card is filled up for this evening.
Sit down, Eddie. I mean right now.
Eddie sat, but he wasn't happy about it.
Who sent for you two?
Nobody sent for us. I told you, we're just drifting.
What are your real names?
Bodine and Two Wolves.
A nervous tick appeared at the corner of one of the marshal's eyes.
Hell, I know who them boys are. That's Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves.
Well, I don't give a damn who they are. I don't like greasy Injuns.
Shut up, Prince. Nobody sent for you two?
No one. We're just riding through. Looks like we picked the wrong town to light.
I wouldn't suggest staying too long.
This Connors you mentioned. Ben Connors?
Yeah, you know him?
I know of him. Gunfighter from over western Kansas way. He's a bad one. Mean clear through. Why would he be coming to... What is the name of this town?
Carlin Sutton.
That's a strange name for a town.
It's a strange town. And getting stranger. You're in the Carlin half now.
I beg your pardon?
You boys really weren't kidding, were you? You're just drifting.
That's right.
Get your beers and come on over to a table with me. Let's talk.
What are you gonna do about that stinking Injun, Marshal?
Sam walked over to the man and Prince stood up, ready to draw. Sam never gave him the chance. Prince flattened out on the floor and didn't move.
Well, that's one way to shut that flapping trap of his.
Bring me a beer, George. And fresh ones for these boys.
Coming up, Tom.
They sat at a far table.
Name's Tom Riley.
Pleased to meet you. Would you explain about the Carlin half of this town, Marshal?
George sat three full mugs of beer on the scarred tabletop and returned to his station.
Long story. What maps there are of this area shows this town is Crossville. Been here about 12 years. Founded by two men, John Carlin and Bull Sutton. It used to be a nice place to live. Those folks got along well, and there was really very little trouble. Anyways, John and Bull never have got along with one another. They both own big ranches, have big sons and pretty daughters. They both think they're cock of the walk, and so do their kids. Bull and John fought the Shoshone and Bannock and pretty much settled this area. Give them credit for that. Now we got stagecoaches coming in regular. And it was shaping up to be a right nice place to live and work and raise a family. That is, until Johnny Carlin fell in love with Scarlett Sutton. It's all turned to road apples since then. Now, mind you, Neither one of those kids is worth a tinker's damn for anything. It ain't proper to talk about a good woman, but Scarlet ain't no good woman. Not by a long shot. She's as mean as an angry puma, and got her temper and a bad mouth that'd cause any man to duck down and hide his head in shame. Bull has forbid Scarlet to see Johnny, and John has forbid Johnny to see Scarlet. Of course, they see each other every chance they get, which is often. Now Bull has accused John of setting the whole thing up so he can get his ranch, and John has accused Bull of the same thing. The kids of both men is egging things on, because none of them, excepting Daniel Carlin and Connie Sutton, has sense enough to come in out of a rainstorm.
Both sides are hiring gunfighters?
You bet. A lot of them.
Name fighters?
Some of them. Ned Carey, J.B. Adams, Paul Brown, and Dick Loren have signed on with the Flying BS.
The what?
That is one hell of a brand, ain't it? Bull Sutton's brand. He's full of it, too. Henry Rogers, Rod Hansen, Ramblin' Ed Clark, and Bill Lowry is on the Circle JC's payroll. And them's just the known guns. Every manjack on both spreads is now drawing fighting wages. And there don't seem to be no end in sight.
You can add two more to the list. Look out the window. That's Simon Green and Peck Hill riding past right now.
Oh, damn. Son of a bitch. Son of a goddamn bitch.
I hate to ask this, Marshal. I hope you don't take it the wrong way, but which side are you on?
No offense taken, Matt. It's a fair question. I'm sitting smack in the middle of this mess. No man or no two men own a western town of this size. We have us a mayor and a town council, and they hired me. Only they can fire me. I'm paid to keep the peace in this town. I intend to do just that, and to hell with what goes on outside it.
Simon Green and Peck walked in. They each wore two guns tied down low. Matt and Sam and the marshal were sitting in the semi-gloom at the far end of the saloon. They received a glance from the hired guns, but at that distance, the faces of the trio were hard to make out. The gunfighters walked to the bar.
Whiskey with a beer chaser, both of us. And which way to the Flying BS?
Now you know, Marshal.
Matt glanced out the window.
Look there. Gene Baker and Norm Meeker riding up. It's getting real interesting around here.
You boys best leave this saloon, mister. They're on the wrong side of town. Get on over to the Bull's Den.
The bartender had one hand under the bar out of sight, and both gunslingers knew that in all likelihood, he was gripping a sawed-off shotgun. Some call them greeners.
Easy now, friend. Just hold your water. We didn't know.
Now you do.
For a fact.
Gene Baker and Norm Meeker walked in, and the four gunfighters stared at one another for a moment.
Well, well. Look who the Tomcat had drug in. Baker and Meeker. I guess you boys signed on with the wrong side again.
You damn sure ain't the side you're on, Green. It never is. You and me, we'll end our quarrel this go-round. Now get out of my way.
I don't think so.
That's it!
Marshal Riley stood up and stepped into the light from the window. His badge glinted brightly. He pointed at the gunslicks.
Take your difficulties outside of town! There will be no trouble here. You two take your butts across the street right now.
Why, sure thing, Marshal. We sure don't want no trouble with the law. Now do we, Simon?
Oh, hell no.
The two men walked out onto the boardwalk, then across the wide street. Baker and Meeker looked at the Marshal, nodded their heads, and walked to the bar. Tom sat back down at the table.
Marshal, do you mean that this country is about to explode into a shooting war? Because of a proposed wedding?
That's the reason both men give. But this has been simmering on the back burner for a long time. The kids seeing each other is just an excuse.
Looks like another rider coming in.
Baker and Meeker left the bar and walked to the Batman's, looking out.
Ben Connors. Somebody's spending a lot of money getting him in here. He's going into the Bull's Den.
Seems like a whole lot of people arriving in this town in one day.
For a fact. And I hope the two I'm sitting with have decided to leave.
Matt and Sam looked at each other and slow grins spread across their mugs.
Ah, shit. I should have known better.
The brothers got a room at the hotel, which was located at the end of the street in a fork of the road. It had been declared neutral ground by both warring ranchers. That was because of the hotel's dining room. The chef had been brought in from New York City, and his food was praised by all. Sam stood by the window of the room and looked up the wide street of the split-apart town.
I wonder what the real reason is behind this war. And I wonder why we don't just saddle up and ride away from this mess.
The real reason is probably a power struggle. And the reason we're staying is because of curiosity. You can't keep your nose out of other folks' business.
Me? You're the one who's the busybody.
You really want to ride out?
No. We've been on the trail for several weeks, and I'd like a few days sleeping in a real bed. Not to mention some time off from your lousy cooking.
At least I can cook. You have a tough time getting water to boil.
Matt stretched out on the bed. The brothers had taken baths in the tubs behind the barbershop, then had gotten a shave and a haircut while fresh clothing was being brushed and ironed, and their trail-worn clothing was sent to the Chinese laundry, run by a pleasant enough fellow named Wo Fong.
Whatever's going to happen must be close. Two more riders coming in, and they look as though they've been on the trail for a time.
Recognize them?
One of them does look familiar. The little one.
That's little Jimmy Dexter, Texas gunhead. He's little, but he's mean as a snake. I don't know that other fella.
Me either. There they go into the bull's den. I'm hungry.
I could use a bite myself.
A dozen riders and two buggies came into view, racing down the street and kicking up a lot of unnecessary dust, sending people on foot scrambling for the safety of the boardwalks.
Well, must be somebody terribly important.
Or somebody who thinks he is. More than likely the latter.
Let's go take a look.
At first, the Blood Brothers thought they were experiencing double vision. The desk clerk cleared it all up, smiling at the confused looks on their faces.
Identical twins. Bull Sutton's girls, Willa and Wanda. Don't get in their way, boys. They're pretty as all get out, but both as mean as snakes. And if you repeat that, I'll call you liars.
The twins sashayed across the boardwalk and wiggled into the lobby. One of them spotted Sam and pointed to him.
You there! Water our teams and see to our buggies and be quick about it.
See to your own buggies.
Oh, Lord, and this started out to be such a nice afternoon.
The flying BS riders who had crowded into the lobby slowly turned, facing Matt and Sam, giving them hard looks. The desk clerk quickly dropped on all fours behind the counter.
Boy, you don't talk to Miss Willa like that. You better do like you're told and do it quick.
I don't think so.
Let's drag him. Somebody get a rope.
What nice young ladies.
Yeah, they were at the top of their class in charm school for sure.
Several of the flying BS riders took a step toward the brothers, and Matt and Sam braced for trouble. Marshal Tom Riley stepped through the doorway.
Rake it up right now!
Oh, hell, Tom! We were just gonna have some fun with this drifter.
That drifter is Sam Two Wolves, and that's his blood brother, Matt Bodine, standing to his right. If you people want to see blood all over this lobby, just crowd those two about 1 inch more, and we'll see what happens.
The punchers stood easy, being careful to keep their hands away from their guns. They weren't afraid of the blood brothers. They were all drawing fighting wages and rode for the brand. But they knew well the reputation of Bodine and Two Wolves, and this close in, confined to the lobby of the hotel, the brothers would get led into a lot of punchers, and Willa and Wanda stood a very good chance of getting hurt or killed.
Miss Willa asked that Breed, or whatever he is, to see to her buggy. The Breed got lippy about it. Bull ain't gonna like that one bit.
You think anybody who doesn't work for your brand is your servant? I have news for you.
Shorty, why don't you see to the buggies, and then everything'll work out.
Shorty looked at Riley, then at Sam.
We'll meet up again, Breed.
Anytime you feel lucky, Shorty. Just anytime at all.
My daddy will hear of this. You can bet on that.
The people in the next county over probably heard it. Pack of coyotes don't make as much racket as you.
What? What did you call me? Did you hear that, man, boys? He called me a coyote. I've never been so insulted.
A big brute of a man stepped into the lobby. The man must have stood at least 6 feet 6 and carried the weight to go with it. He filled the whole doorway.
What's going on here?
That saddlebum called me a coyote, Papa.
Bull Sutton cut his eyes to a puncher.
Is that right, Laredo?
Well, sort of.
but not rightly.
Laredo!
What I said was she made more noise than a pack of coyotes.
A very small smile creased the big man's lips for an instant, and then was gone.
Well, now, she can do that for a fact.
Daddy! How can you say things like that in front of that trash?
But truth or not, I can't let you insult a daughter of mine.
Matt shrugged his shoulders in total indifference. He stood with his hands by his side. Bull studied the young man. There was a flatness in the rider's eyes that he did not like. Then he realized what that flatness represented. Death. He cut his eyes to Sam. The same flatness and lack of emotion was in his eyes, too.
That's Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves, boss.
The big man's eyes narrowed.
You're working for the Circle JC.
Wrong. We're just passing through.
Well, you just keep right on passing.
Wrong.
Sam's back was stiff with anger, and Matt could see it. And when Sam got mad, the odds were pretty good that somebody was going to get hurt. Or dead.
We like it around here. So we think we'll stay for a while. And that is with or without the permission from your lordship.
That's the breed who insulted me!
You boys just stay in trouble, don't you? You don't much look like an Injun.
I really don't know how to respond to that. So I won't.
You boys want to work for me?
No.
No.
I pay top dollar.
Thanks. But we both own working ranches ourselves.
So I heard. All right, boys. This hotel is off limits for trouble. But that's as far as the limits go. Outside, you're on your own.
Matt started to say something, but decided not to push his luck. Bull Sutton looked like he ate chuck wagons for lunch, wheels, rims, and all, and picked his teeth with the wagon tongue. Bull turned his back to the brothers as a way of dismissal.
Get your shopping done, girls, but stay on my side of the town.
Willa and Wanda glared at the brothers for a moment, then swished out the door, followed by several punchers who acted as bodyguards. Bull and several of his men went into the hotel dining room. Matt and Sam stepped out onto the long porch of the hotel. Matt studied the town for a moment.
This is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Well, at least it makes the town look twice as big.
You want to check out the bull's den?
Why not? Might as well make both sides mad at us.
They angled across the dusty street and walked up the boardwalk on the Flying BS side of the town, tipping their hats to the ladies and nodding to the men. The ladies smiled, but the men frowned at them.
Why are the citizens giving us such dark looks?
They don't know what side we're on, I suppose. You ready for a beer?
I'd rather have something to eat. They probably have a free lunch in there.
And we're probably going to get in a fight once inside. It's better to fight on an empty stomach. I keep telling you that, but you never listen.
Thanks for reminding me, but I'm still hungry.
I thought Indians could go for days without eating.
They do now. After listening to the white man's lies and getting stuck on reservations.
Those seated at the tables and lined up along the bar turned as the brothers walked in and stood for a moment on either side of the bat wings. Matt's eyes shifted to a man standing at the long bar.
Paul Stewart. That's who rode in with little Jimmy Dexter.
I recognize him now. The beard fooled me. He probably grew it as a disguise because he's got warrants out on him.
No doubt.
The brothers walked to the bar and leaned against it. The barkeep made no move to take their orders. A lunch of meat and cheese and hard-boiled eggs had been set up on a table near the far end of the bar. Sam walked over to it and began building a thick sandwich, spreading the mustard liberally on the bread.
Well, that's for regular customers.
I'm regular. A little rhubarb now and then sees to that.
Two beers, please.
Are you making light with me?
Sam finished building his sandwich, which now weighed about 2 pounds and was so thick a moose would have trouble getting its mouth around it. He stuck 2 hard-boiled eggs in his pocket and turned to the bartender.
Light with you? Oh, no. I thought you were inquiring about my health.
I don't give a damn for your health. And you don't either coming in here.
Hey, Bree, why don't you go on back to the reservation?
The general character and disposition of the immediate company would certainly improve dramatically if I did.
The gunny pushed back his chair and stood up, his hands by his guns, pearl-handled.
I think you just insulted me, Breed.
Settle down, Chucky.
Settle down, hell. That damn half-breed or whatever he is said something bad about me, I think.
Sam took a bite of his sandwich and chewed. Matt noticed that his brother held the sandwich in his left hand, his right hand close to the butt of his gun. Sam was proficient with either hand,
but normally wore only one gun.
What's your part in all this, Bodine?
None, as long as it stays one-on-one.
It ain't none of our affair. We're out of it.
The bread could be a bit fresher, but other than that, I have to say this is a pretty good sandwich.
Damn it, man! Will you pay attention to me and stop all that chomping?
I seldom pay much attention to the braying of a jackass.
Chucky, man, back off! He ain't done you no hurt.
He's part engine, and I don't like engines. I hope you like that sandwich, Breed, because it's your last.
I really doubt it. Why don't you take the advice of your friend and sit down? There's no need for a shooting.
Sam, two wolves, big shotgun hand. Hell, you're yellow clean through.
The others in the room started watching Matt Bodine. They knew that if trouble started and they took a hand in it, Bodine would fill both hands with iron. At this close range, the barroom would be very quickly filled with dead and dying men. Bodine and Sam would take lead, but that wouldn't help those lying dead on the floor, and no one could be sure it wouldn't be them. To a man, they wished Chucky would shut his flapping trap and sit back down. Bull Sutton ambled in, and his bulk filled the space. He sized up the situation and immediately stepped to one side. Several of his hands went with him. He was not going to interfere. Matt read it right when he figured Bull wanted to see Sam in action, wanted to know just what he might be up against should the brothers decide to ride for the Circle JC. He moved to the bar, and Matt noted that for a big man, Bull Sutton was mighty light on his boots. That was something worth bearing in mind. The barkeep placed a bottle and several glasses in front of Bull.
While you're getting, barkeep, I said I wanted a beer.
Give him a beer! Chuck Babb is quick with a shotgun, Bodine.
He's not quick enough.
The breed that good?
He's that good.
Chucky stood tense, his hands by his guns. Sam laid his half-eaten sandwich on a table and faced the man square, after putting a hand on the back of a chair.
This doesn't have to be.
Yeah, Breed, it has to be. Are you gonna grab iron?
It's your play. I never wanted this trouble.
Chucky began to have doubts. Sam was just too calm and collected. But he made no move to wipe the perspiration from his face. Any move now would be taken as a move toward a gun. He silently cussed the situation. The damn Breed was just too sure of himself. He just stood there, waiting, his face showing no emotion at all.
$100 on Chucky.
You're on.
Chucky killed that Utah gunhand Rodman down on the flats.
Matt chose not to reply. He'd watched Sam put his left hand on the chair back and wondered what his brother had in mind. Matt lifted his beer mug with his left hand. He kept one eye on the men in the saloon, and the men knew it. Bull had placed both hands on the bar. They were all familiar with the unwritten rules of gunplay.
Now!
Chucky grabbed for his guns. Sam threw the chair. The shots went wild, sending men jumping and scrambling for the floor and under tables. Sam leaped across the short space and collided with Chucky, riding him down to the floor, his fists hammering into the man's face and body. Chucky wrestled Sam away and got to his feet, and grabbed at a hideout gun behind his belt at the small of his back. A gun handler, one of his own buddies, tore the gun from him and tossed it to another man.
Fist, Chucky. He could have killed you three times over. Now settle it with fists.
Chucky took a wild swing at Sam, and Sam ducked it, busting Chucky hard in the gut. Sam hit him twice to the jaw, left and right. Chucky went down in a sprawl of arms and legs and came up swinging. Sam backed up and let him come on. He rocked Chucky's head back with brutal jabs to the mouth and nose. Blood was dripping from the man's nose and mouth, and one eye was discolored and closing. The gunless gun hand went down and didn't move. Sam looked at the unconscious man for a moment, shook his head in disgust, and then returned to the bar and picked up his half-eaten sandwich. He met the barkeep's eyes.
Beer! Right now!
The barkeep looked at Sam with new respect in his eyes. Chucky had not managed to land even one good punch. Bull Sutton counted out $100 in gold coin and placed the money in front of Matt.
Sam didn't draw.
Doesn't matter. It was a good and fair fight, and the Breed won. Take the money.
Matt pocketed the coins.
Your brother's got nerve, Bodine. I hate to see good men get killed needlessly.
Matt started to remind him that he seemed pretty damn anxious to see a gunfight, but he held his tongue on that.
Neither of us intends to get killed, Bull.
Ah, no man ever does, Bodine.
Bull and the Flying BS crew left, with Chucky tied in the saddle. The man was still too addled to ride alone. Sam and Matt went walking. This time, the men of the town were just a bit friendlier when meeting the brothers. But no one was friendly enough to invite them to supper. They stopped in at one of the two large general stores, both owned by the same man, but on opposite sides of the street.
Isn't this rather inconvenient?
Yeah, it is. But if I didn't do it this way, only one of the ranchers would do business with me. And pretty soon neither of them would, and then nobody at all would. There are all these little ranches around here that side with one or the other of the big two. Bull and John had spread the word, and soon I'd be out of business. Don't you see?
Matt and Sam both blinked at that explanation.
Yeah, right. We see. Two boxes of 44s, please.
Which side are you on?
Neither one.
Well, then I can't serve you. Boys, I just can't risk it. You go across the street to the other store. Maybe my old woman will wait on you.
Matt and Sam looked at each other, shook their heads, and then trooped out of the store. They walked across the street to the other general store. They were again refused service.
God damn, I'm getting fed up to the neck with this.
A citizen passing by overheard and stopped.
There's an old trading post up yonder on the river, boys. It's only a few miles out of town, north of here. Right pleasant ride it is. The trading post is run by an old mountain man named Ledoux. Ledoux don't kowtow to nobody, and he'll serve anybody.
That's the best suggestion we've heard so far. Let's go.
In the morning. It's too late now. Something tells me that night isn't the safest time to be riding around in this part of the country.
There are occasions when you do make sense, brother.
Damnedest mess I ever did see. Grown-up men acting like children.
Ledoux's place was long and low, dimly lit, and packed to overflowing with every conceivable item one might name. And in the rough bar part of the post, you either drank rye whiskey or nothing.
Sutton and Carlin don't bother me none, though. I told both of them I'd serve whoever I damn well pleased to serve, and if that stuck in their craw, they could just live with it. I also told the pair of them that if they tried to throw their weight around and scare off my regular customers, I still got my sharps that I killed many a Warren engine with, and not no small number of white men, and I would get lead in both of them. I ain't seen hide nor hair of either of them since then.
Matt and Sam both smiled at the man who looked to be about as old as dirt. This was one man who would shoot first and think about the ramifications of it later. Or he might not think about it at all.
Right.
Water for me.
I come out here in, 15, I think it was. So that'd make me about 85, I think. But I don't rightly know. I do know that I got enough teeth left to gnaw on a steak. Ain't been no further east than St. Louis since then. Don't want to go no further east neither. Too many damn people.
Ledoux looked hard at Sam.
You shape up to have some Cheyenne in you, right?
Yeah. My father was Medicine Horse. My mother was white.
I knowed Medicine Horse. Slept in many of his camps. He was a fine and honorable man for an Injun. And you know I don't mean no insult by that.
I know.
Sam knew that his father's thinking had been years ahead of most Indian leaders. But in the end, Medicine Horse knew that the Indian ways could be no more and had elected to die in battle. Ledoux looked at Matt.
You've been adopted into the Cheyenne tribe, ain't you?
Yeah.
I don't know about the breed here, but you got the stamp of a gun slick on you, boy.
My name is Matt Bodine. This is my brother Sam Two Wolves.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. Medicine Horse did marry him a lady from back east. Sure did. Things just might be getting interesting around here.
We're not taking sides. If we had any sense, we'd move on.
I'll drink to that. So, Why don't you just saddle up and ride on? I know. You're both young and full of it. I was the same way. First time I tangled with a grizzly, I began to realize I wasn't immortal.
You fought a grizzly? What happened?
Well, sir, it was like this. I was afoot, running my traps just off the northernmost curve of the snake, when a bear popped up sudden-like. He'd been stuffing himself with berries, and I disturbed him, I reckon. I went up a tree, since I was told that a grizzly don't climb trees. Only problem was, somebody forgot to tell the bear. So, whilst I was climbing down one side, he was climbing up the other. We met in the middle, and I jumped. Damn bear landed right on top of me. Well, sir, we clumb to our feet, and fur and snot got flung. I shot him once, and when that didn't even stagger him, I whooped him upside the head with my good rifle and lit out of there with that bear hot on my heels. Grizz can cover some ground. I got the scars on my ass to prove it. He'd swipe, I'd jump and holler, and he'd roar. Finally, I just couldn't run no more. So I stopped and turned around and whooped out my good knife. I faced that bear, all reared up on his hind legs. I said, Mr. Bear, I ain't got a damn thing against you, but this here fight's gonna be settled right here and now. You won't leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. If you wanna fight, come on. Well, he come on. Whew. That sure was a hell of a fight.
What happened?
Why, son, that grizz killed me.
I just had to ask, didn't I?
Stocked up on ammo and some personal items, Sam and Matt decided to spend the day just getting familiar with the country.
Do you suppose it's gold?
I thought of that. I don't reckon so. The more I think about it, maybe it's just two men who don't get along.
If the parents don't want their kids to see one another, why don't they threaten to disown them or send them away to school back east? This whole thing is stupid. Let's get out of here.
If we head back to the hotel right now, we can put some miles behind us by sundown.
Let's do it.
Halfway back to town, the brothers were confronted by a dozen riders, all of them riding horses with the Circle JC brand. Matt knew several of the men and knew them all for hired guns. One of them, Will Jennings, was a two-bit back-shooting killer.
Well, well, if it ain't Matt Bodine and his greasy engine, brother.
The Circle JC riders fanned out, effectively blocking the road.
Relax, boys. Ain't gonna be no trouble this time, unless you start it.
Well, that's nice to know. To what do we owe this visit?
Well, now, seems to me you're fence stragglers. If you ain't for us, then you've got to be agin us.
How about if we don't give a damn one way or the other?
How about you shut your trap, Breed?
The Blood Brothers exchanged glances.
Exactly what do you want? Both of us are a little confused about that.
The heavyset, bearded rider shrugged.
We get orders, we carry them out.
Orders to do what?
To run you two out of the country, or to kill you if it come to that. And I'll tell you flat out now, I hope it do. I'm looking forward to stretching you out on the ground, Bodine.
I wouldn't count on that, Jennings. Not unless you backshoot me.
Jennings flushed and closed his mouth. It was obvious now to both brothers that there would be no trouble this day. They were all too bunched up.
The question I have to ask is this. Why do you want us out of this country so badly when we're not taking up either side?
The crew exchanged glances. Obviously, the Circle JC crews didn't know the why of it. They were just ordered to deliver the message.
Look, you boys been warned. Ride on out of here. If we ever see you again, we'll start shooting. That's all there is to it. Now get!
The bearded rider wheeled his horse and rode away. The others followed. The Blood Brothers looked at each other for a moment, then walked their horses over to a shady area and dismounted. They kicked around an old log for snakes and sat down and were silent for a time, each one trying to make some sense out of this totally unexpected new development.
You ever had any trouble with anyone named John Carlin?
Never even heard of the man until we rode into town.
Me either. How about Bull Sutton?
The same. And I never heard my dad say anything about either man. So that lets out any personal grudge against our families.
They all hate Indians. But nearly everybody west of the Atlantic and east of the Pacific hates Indians. So that's no answer.
Not everybody.
Your father respected the Indian way. He allowed us to wander freely on his land, and so he was left alone by the Cheyenne. But he was nearly alone in that feeling. Ancient history, brother. There's right and wrong on both sides.
Sam, wasn't there a little paper in town?
Yeah. I saw a building with the words, The Express, on it. You thinking that might be a starting point?
Sam, you and me, we've never taken water from any man in our lives. I don't intend to start now. I don't like being told to clear out of a place with no good reason behind it. We haven't done a damn thing to anybody in this part of the country. Hell, I've never even been in this part of the country before. But Sam, no more heroics like yesterday in the bar. It was a foolish thing you did with that chair.
I know it now, but it seemed the right thing to do at the moment. It won't happen again. I think we've landed in the middle of a deadly mystery, brother.
You always did have a way with words.
Let's go see the editor of the Express.
Ralph Masters shook hands with the brothers and waved them to chairs around his cluttered roll-top desk in the open area that served as his office.
Oh, my, yes. I heard of your arrival within minutes after you got here. I also understand that you gentlemen have been ordered out of the country by the powers that be.
News travels fast. But you are correct. Why is what troubles us?
Oh, you're college educated, Mr. Two Wolves.
Yes, to some degree. My mother insisted on it. And the name is Sam.
How did you know Sam went to college?
Oh, by his speech. What can I do for you gentlemen?
Put some light on what Bull Sutton and John Carlin have against us. Why do they want us out of this country so bad they'd tell our hands to shoot us on sight?
Well, now that's easy. Bull thinks you're working for John. John thinks you're working for Bull.
But we've made it perfectly clear to Bull we were just drifting, seeing the country. And if we get a chance, we'll tell John the same thing.
Oh, that won't do any good. They won't believe you. They'll just shoot you anyway. This whole country is ripe for a major shootout. There must be 50 or 60 hired guns hanging around, just waiting to go into action.
Is everybody in this area crazy?
Well, actually, no. No, even though I can see where it might seem that way to a stranger. You gentlemen just rode into a hornet's nest that was already stirred up.
By a wedding?
Yep.
Everybody around here is crazy.
Bull and John have hated each other for years, and no one knows why. Those two can't even tell you the why of it. Bull built a fancy new house. John did the same. Bull imported shorthorns to improve his herd. John did the same. Bull bought a fancy new carriage built in Chicago for his wife. John had one built in Paris for his wife. They've been trying to outdo each other for years. Here, look here. They've been buying full-page ads. I warned them they could be sued. Then I realized how silly that sounded. You see?
The ads were full-page and facing each other in very large type. One read, Bull Sutton is a cow-stealing, no-good crook. The other read, John Carlin is a horse thief wanted in Texas.
How long has this been going on?
The ads? Oh, about 3 months, I suppose. Sure is making my pockets fat. When it first started, you know, the ads were real good. Now they just about run out of bad things to say about each other. Well, that I can print, that is. Yeah, look at this. Here's what Bull wanted to run last week.
John Carlin is a low-down, dirty son of a... Whoa.
Uh-huh. This is what John wanted to run.
Ralph handed Sam another sheet of paper.
Bull Sutton's mother was a... Holy shit.
Now, of course, I didn't run either one. So now they're both mad at me, and both have warned me I'd better not run any editorials about them. But I certainly intend to do just that.
You're setting yourself up to get hurt if you do.
I'm a newspaper man, boys. I print what I see and think. You or no one else can stop the shooting now. It's gone too far. The sheriff's 50 miles away. And he isn't interested in whether Sutton or Carlin kill each other or not. He don't like either one of them. But I'm afraid some innocent people are gonna get caught up in the crossfire.
The brothers stared at the editor and owner of the Express.
Yeah, honest to God, boys, I've told you all I know. That's it. Bull and John are like two big, strong bulls in a small pasture. One of them has got to go. They just plain hate each other, and I suppose they always will.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Sure. Now you stop by any time. If you're able, that is.
Stinks, Sam.
Yeah, but it's not our problem.
Tom Riley walked up to them.
It's about to be. Yonder comes a whole gang of Circle JC riders, with Big John himself leading the pack.
The Circle JC riders wheeled in and fanned out, facing the three men on the boardwalk. John Carlin was not quite the size of Bull Sutton, but he was a bear of a man nonetheless. Matt figured him about 6 feet, 3 or 4 inches, and an easy 230 pounds, with massive shoulders and arms and a barrel chest. Like Bull, John looked like a man accustomed to getting his own way, one way or the other. As Matt studied the man, he experienced a very strange feeling. It puzzled him. It was an elusive feeling that he couldn't pin down. He glanced at Sam. His brother stood watching John, an odd expression on his face. Sam was getting the same feeling as he was. The same bunch who had braced them on the road into town now rode with John, including Will Jennings, who sat his saddle with a nasty smirk on his face.
My men told you two gunslicks to get clear of this country. Looks like we're going to have to escort you out of here.
These two men can stay in this town as long as they like. They haven't caused any trouble, and until they do, no one except me can give them walking papers. And you damn well better understand that, John.
Seems to me, Tom, that you're getting too big for your britches.
They fit me pretty well. You and Bull are the ones who think you're the Lord God Almighty around here. Now, these boys don't work for Bull, and they don't work for you. So that leaves them out of this mess. As long as they pay their bill at the hotel and don't cause any trouble, they can stay. I'm not going to tell you where this rabid pack of coyotes working for you again. You understand?
That's strong talk, Tom.
I mean every word, John. I'm tired of you and Bull using this town for a battleground. And I'll tell you something else. The same thing I told Bull yesterday. I wired the sheriff, and he met with the judge, and I'm now a fully commissioned deputy sheriff. And that means I have a whole lot more country to ramble around in after people who cause trouble. And I'm going to swear in 3 new deputies this day. Van Dixon, Nate Perry, and Hank Davis's boy, Parley. I don't want trouble in this county, John. And I damn sure won't tolerate any in this town. You and Bull settle your differences between you like men should. John, you know me. I've cleaned up every mining camp in Cowtown that hired me on. And I'll keep the peace in this town, too. If I have to put handcuffs on you and Bull to do it, don't think for one second I won't. Or kill you, if it comes to that.
Oh, he's all mouth, boss. There ain't no guts behind that badge. Just a bunch of hot air. I ain't never seen any of his graveyards. I'll think I kill you, Ten Star.
Tom Riley was no fast gun, but he was dead accurate. The marshal pointed the .45 at the ranch owner's chest.
He threatened me, John, and you seem to enjoy the words. You get my message now?
I get it, Tom. And I guess I know which side you're on.
That's sort of funny, John. That's the same thing Bull said.
The new deputies were sworn in, and the marshal introduced Matt and Sam to the men. Parley Davis was no more than a kid, having just turned 18. But in the West, no matter what the age, when a boy strapped on a gun, he became a man. And when he strapped on a star, he became a walking target. None of the 3 new deputies had a reckless or careless manner about them, and both Matt and Sam felt the marshal had chosen wisely. They talked with one of the new deputies, Van Dixon, a man around 50.
I come into this country back in 40, boys. Back when the only white men were mountain men. There's still a few of them around. Cantankerous old bastards. But they stay up in the mountains and to themselves and come into town maybe twice a year. Mostly they trade with Ladue. A wise man would leave those old boys alone. I damn sure do. Those men was born with the bark on.
You got right in on the last of the trapping, didn't you?
Yep. I saw a lot of country, made friends with the mountain men and the Indians when either or both would let me. The trouble we have in this country now, boys, is nothing new. I'd put 50% on Bull and 50% on John. They come in within weeks of each other and took one look and went to cussing. Some say they used to be friends. Maybe there was, but I never knew them to be. Between them, they got a passel of kids, 12 or 13 at least. Looks like an army coming in. Only two real good kids among them, Dan Carlin and Connie Sutton. Polite and mild-mannered and just flat-out nice kids. I think they're about 18, 19 years old. The rest of them ain't worth a bucket of slop. I heard you met Wanda and Willa. Well, wait till you meet up with Scarlett Sutton. She puts both of them to shame. Cuss? Lordy, can she cuss. And mean-spirited, too. Mistreats any horse she rides, and I just can't abide that. The way a person treats a horse or a dog tells a body everything you need to know about them. John's got twins, too. Pete and Petunia. That damn Petunia is no flower, believe you me. She's just as mean and ornery as any man, and her brother Pete's about half nuts. He's killed two men that I know of and wounded several more. He's quick with a pistol, I'll give him that. Bull's spread and John's outfit got ranged at meets, and they've always squabbled about that. That's where the trouble will more than likely start.
Have the Sutton and Carlin boys ever tied it up?
Oh, yeah. Fist fights. One shooting that left nobody hurt or dead. They were lucky that time.